In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. I was talking last week about meekness, and this week I want to talk about the opposite of meekness, which is sulking. Anybody listening to me that is tempted to sulk? I am. Every now and then I'm tempted to just go into a deadly funk because somebody has said something that crossed my will, or somebody hasn't been nice to me, you know, all those petty little ridiculous things that can undermine our spiritual life. And sulking, I think, is one of the hardest lessons for parents to deal with, their children who whine and sulk. So let's think about this business of sulking. We talked last week about how meekness is teachableness. It's having an empty cup, the readiness to be shown, to be taught, to be changed. And Jesus has power to show us, to teach us, and to change us if we're willing to listen. In the book of James 1:21, we read, "Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." And I believe that word humbly is actually translated meekly in some other Bible translations. Meekly accept the word planted in you. We have to get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly or meekly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then in James 3:13, we read, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." I told you about our dear Mrs. Kershaw, an old lady that worked for our family when she was in her 70s. Just the personification of meekness, quietness, but such a sunny and cheerful spirit. Let's never equate meekness with dullness or gloominess, let alone with weakness. She was a wonderful woman and a godsend to us. One of the ways in which we can be meek is to keep our mouths shut. And you remember when those people rebelled, led by Korah, they rebelled against Moses and Aaron and said, "Who do you think you are? Do you think you're more holy than the rest of us? You put yourselves up on a pedestal. We're all equal." I think that was perhaps the first demonstration or protest march for equality. But Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man who ever lived, and we certainly see it in that incident. Instead of getting into a big argument with them, he said very quietly, I think, "We'll meet here tomorrow morning, and we'll ask God what he thinks about this." And the next morning, you may remember, God's message came through with rather shattering force. The ground opened up and swallowed Korah and his rebellious followers. Moses demonstrated meekness, quietness in not trying to deal with the thing. He refused force. Hands off. Reject brutality. It is an explicitly spiritual quality that's not natural in any of us. But what is very natural in many of us is this word sulking. Meekness is the manifestation of love, a depth of charity that comes from learning the love of Christ. The opposite of that is sulking. I didn't get what I wanted. You've heard the story of the little boy whose mother made him sit on the chair as a punishment, and she heard him muttering, "Well, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." He's sulking, pouting, drawing into himself, shutting out the rest of the world. And that's a temptation for us adults as well as for children. Meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Sulking is not a virtue. and it's got to go. I think of the little girl in the closet. Her mother put her in the closet as a punishment and shut the door, and she was rather surprised that there was nothing but dead silence for quite a long time. So she finally decided she better check on her, and she called in and she said, "Susie, what are you doing?" And the little girl said, "I spit on your dresses, and I spit on all your hats." And her mother said, "And what are you doing now?" And she said, "I'm waiting for more spit." Well, that's the old self, isn't it? Sulking comes from egocentrism, thinking about oneself as though the universe revolves around ourselves. It's touchiness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, in that description of what real love is never touchy. When my field of sensitivity has been trespassed on, if my honor has been attacked, or my rights taken away from me, my sufferings not considered, my needs not met, then an egocentric spirit sulks. The world owes me a living. My family owes me kindness and love and courtesy. My boss owes me respect and recognition and appreciation. We don't get it, and we sulk. Egocentrism, let's call it what it really is, it comes out of the old self. And what this program is about is, among other things, the contrast between the old self and the new self. Jesus Christ wants to make us into His image. That is a totally new self created by Him. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new act of creation or a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I had a letter from a lady who had been greatly hurt by someone at her place of work. And she described the whole situation, and it was very obvious to me that this lady was sulking. And I wrote back and tried to put it to her as gently as I could and yet as truthfully as I could. I didn't know what could be done about this other person, but it wasn't the other person that was asking me. It was this lady. And so I tried to deal with the question rather than with the whole situation. And her question was, "What shall I do?" And I tried to point out to her that she needed to get rid of her anger, her bitterness, her feeling of having been put upon, her egocentrism, and start to love that person as Christ loves them. Hannah Whittall Smith, who wrote that wonderful little classic, This Christian Secret of the Happy Life, wrote this about somebody, she doesn't say who, the circumstances of her life she could not alter, but she took them to the Lord and handed them over into His management. And then she believed that He took it, and she left all the responsibility and the worry and anxiety with Him. As often as the anxieties returned, she took them back to Him. And the result was that although the circumstances remained unchanged, her soul was kept in perfect peace in the midst of them. And the secret she found so effectual in her outward affairs, she found to be still more effectual in her inward ones, which were, in truth, even more utterly unmanageable. She abandoned her whole self to the Lord, with all that she was and all that she had, and believing that He took that which she had committed to Him, she ceased to fret and worry, and her life became all sunshine in the gladness of belonging to Him. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." What is your reason for feeling like sulking today? Can you respond in the way that this woman responded? Just hand them over into His management. Whatever the circumstances are that you can't alter, or the person in your life that you would most like to change, and you know perfectly well that all your efforts have come to nothing, just take them to the Lord, hand them over into His management, and then you've got to believe that He takes it. She left all the responsibility and the worry and anxiety with Him. I was awake this morning at about 4 o'clock, thinking about various things that could cause worry and anxiety. And so I was practicing doing exactly this, just handing them over to the management of the one who runs the entire universe and keeps the entire universe running smoothly. All the stars and the planets in their courses, the tides and the winds, the animals and the birds, all of them obedient to Him. He wants us to be obedient to Him as well, but He's given us the freedom to choose not to. You can choose to sulk, or you can choose to trust Him, to hand over your burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And the little word that came to me in the early hour this morning was, God knows. God knows. I didn't need to worry about it anymore.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.